51. As we look in Psalm 51 tonight, well, thank y'all for being here. What a pleasure it is to be in the house of God. I don't have to be here. I want to be here. And ever since I got saved, I ain't had a problem getting here. I might get snowed out where I'm at because we don't have snow plows and all that stuff and all them Yankees that move down there and make fun of us. Y'all can't drive in the snow. No, we don't have salt and snow plow in the budget. So if it does snow, we just take it easy at the house for a few days or a week if they'll let us. And I don't mind it. I love being at home too. I love being at home with my family. Psalm 51, as we're looking at tonight, David has committed a very grievous sin by what he did with Bathsheba, and when people pointed blame at both of them, I've never heard her tell her side of it, but I have read his. And what he says is amazing here in Psalm 51. It completely broke the man when Nathan came to him and told him, "Thou art the man." And when that happened, David makes mention of some things that he turns and gets right with the Lord about. But you don't have to be in grievous sin to say one of these things here in this passage. And I want to read it to you tonight. And I want it to help you to understand that there are literally two things that will help you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Just two. These will help you like you wouldn't believe. David set them under bad conviction. And as we look at them, look at Psalm 51 verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's read it again. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at a clean heart and a right spirit. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, we pray that you'll help our understanding of the Word of God. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And God is our great teacher. The Holy Spirit of God that lives within us shows us this text tonight. God, that you would help us. Help us to walk out of here, Lord God, with a clean heart and a right spirit. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. The first thing he deals with in this text, he said, "Create in me a clean heart." A clean heart has to do with forgiveness. With forgiveness. I know that you and I have a problem that we'll carry with us to the grave. It's called we remember things. I don't care who you are, it's hard to forget things that were done wrong to you. But it's not hard to forgive them. Especially when you put them in the light where the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he forgave us from, we have no right to hold anything over anybody. See, you don't know what they done. No, but I know what it did to him. And what scares me more than anything is after I got saved, I found out things I had been doing since I'd been saved. I got to read the Bible and find out there's other things I need to get out and need to get right and things like that. Though, listen, I had them commission sins down pat. I knew them. But then sins of omissions where I didn't know is owe me sin then. And I had to go in there and say, "Lord, I didn't know. I sinned in ignorance on this right here." But as I look at this thing tonight, he says a clean heart. The first thing you got to ask yourself is, have you truly forgiven others if you won't have a clean heart? Have you truly forgiven others? And the most famous quoted verse in the Bible, they think, is Matthew 7, verse 1. "Judge not, lest ye also be judged." In a parallel passage to that they need to learn to really help them out, is in Luke 6:37. It says this: "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." If somebody comes to the saving knowledge of Christ and they realize that God not only brought their dead spirit to life and put in them a new heart, they'll want to keep that heart clean. I don't know how you are, but every time I buy a car, I keep it clean for a little while. My goal is to always keep it clean. But a car is such an immaterial thing anymore. It's like a toaster. I've had so many of them, I couldn't tell you what all of them look like anymore. And I've never really wrecked cars or nothing. It's just if one wears out. You know, you put 10,000 miles on something, it gets out. Just move on to the next one. There's no sentimental value to these vehicles. My church voted to buy my cars years ago, and I'll never forget this. They come up and said, "We about time to get something." And I said, "Well, I'll go get a truck." And I went and got the truck, and had one half was mad because I didn't buy a Ford, and another half was mad because I didn't get a Chevrolet. And I had to tell them if I would have brought one of the other here to split the church. I don't know how it is down here in Georgia, but up there, that's a big deal. So what'd you get? A Honda. Totally got out. They even accused me of not having a real truck. That's what's so funny. I don't care. It does everything I want it to do. And it's a cool color. There is that. But when we look at keeping something clean, we first get it, we want to keep it clean and keep it spotless and things like that. Then after a while, we kind of let things go. And we don't need to let our heart get like that. And he points out, forgiven, you shall be forgiven. You gotta get to the point where you say, what basis did the Lord forgive me? He done it on one basis. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's any doubt about your sins in your life, if you just hit the altar and guess, the Holy Ghost help you figure them out. But if you want to know how He does it, did you catch He said He'd cleanse you from it? I don't know how y'all do it down here. Back where I'm at, you got to have something to work with on that deal. You got two things. Water and something else. No matter what you're cleaning up. I had a science teacher, still got her in my church. She told me, said, "Do you know what soap is engineered to do?" I said, "I have no idea, but I know you don't tell me." She said, "It makes water more wet." The cleansing agent in getting your heart right is there got to be the cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word, according to Ephesians 5:26. But when you add that other element in there, and listen to this one, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If we take that element, we take that water of the Word, and begin together, that blood just helps that water work so much better. That's why I said, you got saved, you can read the Bible and understand things now. God's got something to work with, and He uses that water. And that's why, listen, you ain't even thought about this in years, maybe some of you. But there's some things you just quit doing one day, and you forgot you quit doing them. I saved for 48 hours, two whole days, before I realized I'd quit drugs. I'd never been happy. Not like that. Sober for two whole days. No programs. No, what do you call them things you go through, the rehab? I had none of that. I didn't go. I told my wife, I said, "You know, I ain't had no dope in 2 days. She said, "My goodness, you hadn't." I didn't know how to act. I was going to quit every New Year's Eve. Now all of a sudden, April 7th, 1980, done. Finished transaction. What happened? The water and the blood. You know why I've done dope 30 years since then? Same reason. Now listen to me. I don't take that lightly. That was a huge deal in my life. I couldn't get away from it. But He did. And the only reason I don't fall into it tonight is because He's still around. And He's still got the water and He's still got the blood. He gets in things together and boy, they work so good. And if I ever think, boy, I've arrived, I say, boy, my heart's messed up. It's got pride stains all over it. And when we look at that thing about the blood and we look about forgiving others, no matter what they've done, no matter how grievous the sin, there's one other thing you need to forgive, and you need to get this one, because this affects more people than you'd realize, is have you forgiven yourself? I mentioned depression the other night. It might have been last night. How people suffer from depression, and a lot of that is they can't forgive themselves. It's hard sometimes. But you got to realize if somebody like God, who's greater than us, has turned around and said, "I forgive you," you can forgive yourself and go on with life. You don't have to walk with guilt anymore because the sentence has already been executed. You can't try a man twice for a crime, and Jesus already took the punishment. He took the trial. He took all of that. It's already paid for. We can forgive ourselves and go on with life and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to have a clean heart, oh God, so that, Lord, that you can use me in some way, some shape, some fashion, that I'll be able to be used of you in this present evil world. Here a while back, I've never forgotten this. Somebody I grew up with from a baby got sideways with me. And this is what they said. If he comes to preach, I'd stand up in the middle of it and walk, just like you did. Just stand up and walk out right as he preaches. I told you I'd get you. And I heard, word got back to me, they were saying this stuff. I said, did they say why? They said, because they knew I wasn't nothing but a dope head and a scoundrel and a this and a that. And they called me names I can't repeat to you. Some of them, man, they must have invented since I got saved. I don't know. And I thought, well, what'd you do? I forgive them. Do you think God has a sense of humor? Boy, I do. I know he doesn't. When I tell you this next part, you're going to die laughing. You're going to laugh on the inside of what you do on the outside. Let me say that. There's a young man in my church, said he's called to preach. He started wearing a suit and tie carrying the Bible to public school. He got ridiculed for it. He'd stand up and preach in school. They said, we don't know what we're going to do with this boy. And then he got out with God. His mama got him out of church. He got hooked up with a girlfriend that was involved in witchcraft. A 16-year-old girl involved in witchcraft. Me and Brother Brandon went to her house to win her to Jesus after that boy died, and her daddy come running in the room, her granddaddy, oh, no, 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 she's saved, she's saved. I said, sir, she just admitted she's a witch. Just admitted it, admitted she's lost and on her way to hell. Oh, no, I seen her when she was baptized. Come again. She was what? Baptized don't make you saved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, not through his baptismal. You must be born again. That guy ran us out of his house. I'll never forget 2 days later at the funeral. I didn't even think about that lady that said all that stuff was a pastor's wife. The funeral was held at her husband's church. You talking about awkward. Me and Henry Coley sitting on the platform. I looked right out there at her and I thought, well, she ain't got up. Well, of course, it ain't my turn yet, but, you know. Her husband got up and opened in prayer, and he sat down, and whatever he did, I don't know. He didn't go out there with her, but I don't know where he went. He wasn't on the platform with us. He might have been sitting on like an old seat over here. And I got up to preach, and you'll never guess who walked in the door, Brother Ronnie, but Jimmy Robbins. When I say Jimmy Robbins, he goes, wow, and y'all are silent. Y'all don't know. If you would have ever ran into this man while he was alive, you'd have known if you'd seen two like him, the other guy was faking it.
That's right.
Jimmy was the wildest preacher I've ever met in my life. He makes Sam Adams look like a Methodist choir boy. I mean, he was wild. We was in a Christian bookstore one time, and this guy would come in there, and he said, brother, he said, I'm fighting the devil, I'm depressed, I'm whatever. He said, well, there's Dr. Robbins. I'm going to talk to him. I ducked behind the bookshelf because I knew what was coming. He walked around there and said, Dr. Robbins, I'm depressed. He grabbed him by both coat tails, pulled him up, and screamed. You could hear him all across the street. You need to get right with God and start shouting God out and praising his name. You understand me? And I sat there, I was laughing. I said, boy, I've never done that in public. But I knew Jimmy, you know. But he walked in the back. And he shouted the whole time I was preaching. He even stood up on the pew a couple times. Preach, man of God, preach. And he talked like that. That's how he talked. But he didn't get my attention so much as the girl that sat over there that said all that stuff. Cried the whole time. I directed nothing towards her. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. That's what you got to do. And I watched that thing transpire, and at the end of it, she cried her way out the door. Brother Coley preached, she cried all the way through that. And watching all that happen, years later, my mother-in-law died. And she come to the house and apologized for every bit of that stuff. So what'd she get to set free? Because I didn't have her in bondage. But the devil will get you and chain you down, and you've got the key in your hand to get out with, because you won't forgive somebody else. So why would you want to forgive them? For your own heart.
Right.
You remember Ezekiel, he said, a new spirit will I put with them, and my spirit, and a clean heart, or a new heart there, you know, he put a heart there. You can get that thing dirty. And it'll mess you up. And the day and age you and I live in, it'll look like you, like you mentioned your, I won't say the name or nothing, but you mentioned, like, you can't even tell if they're saved. And they may not be, they may be. But when you get that heart dirty, it's so hard to tell. Because if the heart's dirty, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will start speaking, and if it's dirty, guess what comes out here? Oh, Christians don't cuss. Please, I'll read you where Peter did cuss in the Bible. So he wasn't saved then. Try that with somebody else.
Right.
You know what happened to Peter? The same thing happened to everybody else. Unforgiveness. You imagine how you felt on that fishing boat, sitting out there naked on the fishing boat, backslid on God, quit the ministry. Mm-hmm. The thoughts must have went in his mind of old Judas. Do you realize they all had to forgive him? They had 11 guys had to say, and then they had to turn around and forgive themselves for not seeing it ahead of time. I love people that brag on discernment. Boy, I got discernment. I see right through you. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, they fixing to get snowed, or they already have. No matter who says it, the next thing you see is they got snowed on something. And then they're too prideful to admit it. So what they need, just a clean heart. Just to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I did that. Lord, you created me a clean heart. You know what he'll do? He'll do it. He'll remind you of forgiveness and how he's forgiven you and how he'll wipe the whole thing clean again like it never happened. But he says also in that verse 10, he says, created me a clean heart, O God. And he says that thing in such a way you can tell by reading it that God's the only one who can do that thing. Then he says, and. There's more to it. And the second part of it starts and says, and renew a right spirit within me. I don't know how you think about this, but I'm going to take you on a little theological journey of your saved life. You were born dead in trespasses and sins, but yet your eyes blinked, your lungs worked, and your heart beat. So some part of you was alive. I'm guessing your body was alive, but I even read theologically deeper than that, found out our soul was alive too. But there was something dead. When he says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2, that means something had to be brought back to life in order for you to be a completed being in the eyes of God. That was a dead spirit you were born with. You didn't even know it was dead. But I can promise you this, there's not a lost person in the world who can get a prayer through to God Almighty, because that spirit is how he communicates with them. And that's when they lost touch with God in the Garden of Eden. When he said, you shall die if you do this, their body didn't die. Their soul didn't die, because it animates the body, but the spirit died. So God, like he knew what he was doing when you got saved, brought you right up. Isn't that something? You must be born again. You've been waiting on your body to improve. It ain't going to. I got some sad news for you. There's a grave somewhere with your name on it. It's never going to get any better. And if you're lucky, there's not a hospital bed before you get to that part. If you're lucky. And I use that word lucky jokingly. Because you never know. But when he said renew a right spirit, not just a right spirit. Renew a right spirit. I look at that and I see the second part of what he's saying, and I know now what he's talking about. Right spirit is talking about sanctification. Sanctification when you got saved was this. God set you apart to serve him. And ever since then, he's been getting you closer to him. It's called progressive sanctification at that point. That has nothing to do with the wisdom of man, but it has everything to do with the Holy Spirit of God. And that spirit right there, he dealt with. And what he wants to do is have you to such a point that he can get you to do anything for him. I bought this goofy tool here a while back because I needed it for one thing. And I got a man in my church, Brother Steve, he tells me, if I need a tool, I'll go ahead and buy it. That way I have it that time, and if I ever need it again, I got it. Thing wasn't but $5. It's called a hog nose puller or some business. I don't even know what that, I've never even seen one until I needed one. Well, I went and got it. And now that it's over, I think it's still in the same spot. Unless my wife has been in my toolbox. And why she would go after that thing, I haven't. I think I hit on the nerve. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't mean to bring up any old feelings there, but listen. I even made her a toolbox and she still gets to mine. But anyway, if I want to use that thing, it's always there for me. It's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. I rescued it from that plastic prison it was in. It's free, but it's only free to be used by me. When people say, I'm free, I'll do anything I want to, now I'm saved. No, you can't. You got the freedom to serve God. That's what you. That's your freedom. Before you couldn't, because remember, you were dead. God don't use dead things, except fried chicken. But God takes you as a tool, and if He wants to use you, He gets you and uses you for whatever, and He puts you up to it, He needs you again. You got to always be ready for Him to use.
Right.
I don't like tools that crawl off. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what the biggest problem we got in church is? We got folks who come to the altar and put their bodies up for our living sacrifice, and the sacrifice crawls off the altar because it's a living sacrifice. Old Testament, no problem. Kill it, put it on altars there. New Testament, a living sacrifice, and it quickly too sometimes. What I'm getting at is this, with that right spirit, this sanctification, I want to read you a verse that I believe everybody in here either knows or has heard enough that you probably got it memorized. Listen to this. And be not conformed to this world. Where's that at? Where's that at? Romans what?
12.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what did you just say? Did you say renewing? Man, listen to this. Right in front of you. Renew a right spirit within me. You know where it starts at? You gotta have the Old and New Testament together for your spirit to be right. Your head's gotta be right. Y'all never give a testimony, oh, I thought I was saved, but Jesus was here and He wasn't here. Can I tell you a secret? If He didn't get here, He could never get here. Thus He gave the commission, teach all nations. Why? You got to understand it before it can be put in practice.
Correct.
This is knowledge. This is wisdom. They have to go together. Did you know that the Bible said God gives both of them things? Renew a right spirit. And be not conformed to what? This world. I ain't woke. I don't even hang out with that crowd. We'd just argue if we did. But I can safely say this, I put up with them and they're never tolerant of me.
Right.
So when did that happen? Oh, about 10 years ago, we were street preaching up Gaffney, they're throwing things and called the police on us. I like cops. You know what they did? They come bought us cold water and give it all of us. And it stood out there like this. I thought, they was hollering and throwing things till the old officer got there. I like cops like that, don't you? But when I see people come up and they say, I don't get this thing. Why can't I do such and such for the Lord? Your spirit's not right. You don't ever ask God why you can't. You say, I will whenever, Lord. It don't bother me. I know a man that you support his son here at this church, Brother Jason. His daddy sat in a church for 25 years, called to preach, went to Bible college, all of that, and waited on God for a church. 25 years. Most folks have been moved on with their life. When God finally opened the door, he's been pastoring about 5 or 10 years now. I think it's 10, actually. What was he? Had a right spirit. Brother Billy's always had a right spirit. You get around him, you always feel welcome. You always feel loved. And that's when he's sick. When he's well, you feel like a king. You go to his house, you just get welcomed in. It is unbelievable. The man's got a right spirit. But see, he wants to have a right spirit, wants to be used of God whenever God will have him. I had him come to my church. He wanted to baptize some converts, and he brought them in. And there was some Spanish folks sitting right where you are, sister, a whole row of them. They had some older ones there, and then the wife that was getting baptized, her husband, two or three little kids. Boy, he blistered them Catholics and done it with such a smile on his face. I wanted to turn Catholic so I could get saved too. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. He just got such a good spirit about him. And that's what God wants us to have right there, a right spirit. Listen to this. He said that you may be transformed by the renewing of mind, that ye, that's all of us, may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, watch this part, will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect. I think some jobs that you'll do secular are good jobs. Some are even acceptable and some are perfect. But God wants all three covered. You know who covers them and never says, I want the other one? The guy with the right spirit. He says, I'll go. I've watched missionaries go to places I don't know where they have on the map till they tell me. And they'll go there and love on people and start a church. And they'll be in the middle of these killer religions and think have the best spirit about them. And over here, we want to kill them. They got the right spirit. How'd they do that? They didn't conform to the world, but they got transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they proved was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when you set yourself apart for Jesus, there are four places you do that at. Number one's in your clothes. Let me read you a verse and you tell me if this applies to clothing. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So that's in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I got a standard at my church. We got standards. You know what they are? If it looks good, cover it up. If it don't look good, cover it up. Cover it up. You want to sing in the choir? Cover it up. So why do you have to come up with something like that? Because I watched a girl walk in her choir one night with spandex pants on. So we can't do that anymore. She said, well, the only people looking at me has got the problem. I said, no, man. You need a right spirit about you before God can use you up here.
Right.
And I've said it to a man, too.
Yes, sir.
And I have said it to him.
Yes, sir.
Don't come in here showing all that. Number one, I don't want to see it for sure, and they don't need to see it. Like I said, if it looks good, cover it up. If it don't look good, cover it up, but cover it up, whatever it is. See, now you in your mind saying, well, he's talking about this and right now. I didn't say that. You said that. I said cover it up. And don't spray paint it on, cover it up. Cover it up. Amen.
Amen.
See, what are you talking about? Transforming or the renewing of your mind. I adjusted the way I thought about this. You know why? Who's causing me problems? I'd look out in the congregation at your teenage boys pointing at something like that. I say, you got to stop that. Or even worse, see two teenage girls pointing at some man that's wearing blue jeans. Looks like he's, hey, you need to do something about that. I ain't being mean. You can't walk out here saying, he's such a mean preacher. I only called y'all names and stuff last night. I've been very nice tonight, I think. Yeah. But I want you to have a right spirit about you and a clean heart. And when I see people want to do something for the Lord, if you change the way your clothing is, you'll do great things for God.
Right.
You know what's a sad day I see in our age is? That if you go to the courthouse to be sentenced in a jail trial or whatever for some crime,
mm-hmm.
You're dressed like me.
Yes, sir.
You're no longer you. You're the defendant. You look over and your lawyer's dressed like me. There's a guy down at this convenience store. Came to me the first time you ever came here. I walked in the store to get something before I came here. He said, are you a lawyer? I need a lawyer. I said, sure. What you need? I said, I'm just a lawyer. Plays for another team. Amen. Listen. Poor guy. Listen. When they say this stuff and they say, well, what about... Well, if you don't have stuff like that, well, go to Goodwill. I'll take you to Goodwill if you want one. I mean, my first suits was Johnny Carson. Y'all remember Johnny Carson suits?
Yeah.
I was a little young, fat preacher boy. I weighed about a few pounds more than now, and the guy at my Bible college said, he looked at me and did this. I said, "What is it, Brother Gary?" He said, "I just lost about 100 pounds. I think I got some suits you can wear." I wore Johnny Carson suits. I mean, they were about 20 years out of date, but y'all knew who he was. I knew who he was. I was like Ric Flair, man. I had Johnny Carson stuff on. I mean, name brand stuff. Of course, I had to be fat and poor to get it. But if you want, it's just out there.
Yep.
So what was that? He saw I wanted to do right. That's all. People make fun of me because I wore suit and ties everywhere, but I never told them that's all I had. I didn't gain weight, couldn't wear nothing else. He gave me all the suits. I wore them everywhere. I didn't cut grass in them, though. I kind of didn't do that. Kind of wished I would have, where I could have been a real legalist like some of them guys. Well, bless God, I would drop. I cut grass in a suit and tie, you know. Y'all heard them guys. Listen. When you go to the courthouse, you dress like that, and they got a list of stuff, and you ask the courthouse what you can't wear. You know, I've heard people say that's at my church. That's sad. I've never told nobody that. If they're going to get on a platform, rules change. Because if you're going to show it off, well, this ain't the strip club. Do you know if you go to meet the queen or the king of England, there's a dress code to see him?
Yes, sir.
You can't just go in there, "Hey, bro, what's up?" In fact, when you go to walk out, you can't turn your back on him. You got to do this. If you don't turn your back on him.
Right.
Here's another good one. When I come up here to preach, I dress like I'm in the courthouse for one reason. If it's that important to me, tried as a criminal to look my best, what should God expect out of me? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Where I'm at, they're shucking and jiving, man. Dudes up here in the pulpit looking like this, hair all one thing and all this stuff. It's like, come on, dude. Show some respect for the house of God. Renew a right spirit within you. I don't think them guys are bad off. I think they need to get their heart right and get their spirit right. That's what the problem is. They have no respect for the things of God.
Right.
And by the way, it won't be them doing it for long. Everybody will be doing it before long. Notice this one. Not only in your clothes, but also in your chores. That means where you work at. Whether it's at the house. We was talking today, I had to bust wood when I was growing up. Boy, I hate that stuff. Take a go devil, put it on a big old log out there and split that pine or that oak or whatever they brought in there. Bam! And I was telling Brother Ronnie, I said, one thing I hate about it is if I missed. Said, "You cut your foot off?" "No, I had a log this big with them sitting on it. If you miss, you hit that thing, it's like a Bugs Bunny. You hit it like that."
Right.
It was awful. We moved our house we got now. There's a fireplace there. And my wife says, "Oh, honey, look at the fireplace." And I just, Lord. I said, "Well, you can learn how to cut wood, honey. You're the city girl. We live in the country now. You can learn how to cut wood." Say amen right there, son. Amen. And I put a gas log thing in there as quick as I get it in there. I got a tank that big. I said, "We ain't chopping nothing." There's a tank that big outside the house. She sent me a picture of the fireplace going yesterday. I could feel the heat all the way through the phone. I'm telling you. I pulled out the picture this morning and looked at it again. But the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Everything. When I cut my grass, I don't look better than that football field downtown. I'm doing that for, I live on a dead end road. Nobody sees it but me. But I want to look good for Him. Y'all may not realize this, but I hate working on flowers in the yard. In the house we moved to, flower bed, flower bed, flower bed. I was out there on the porch reading my Bible and read that verse, and the Lord spoke to my heart very plainly. In all. I went down to Lowe's, bought them things and all that stuff. I trimmed them things up. So what'd you do? I took off everything that's ugly on it. I don't know nothing about that. I just knew what didn't look right. I don't know how to trim a rose bush and all that. I don't know nothing about that. But I know when it don't look right. Lord, I don't do this for you. I got two or three neighbors live down below me. They don't never walk by and say, boy, them are pretty flowers, but I want them to. But whether they ever do or not, I want him to. Are you listening to me so far? So if I have a secular job, you know what I want them to say? I don't like how he believes. I don't like how his church is. I don't like his Bible. Boy, he'll do me a good job. I tell him to do anything. In Psalm 39, verse 1, flip your page over to Psalm 39. I'll show you this. We're right here at it. You can see this one. Psalm 39, verse 1. The Bible says over here, not only in our clothes and our chores, we want to have a right spirit and a clean heart, but also in our conversations. And when I say in our conversations, I'm not talking about your lifestyle. Like people talk. Well, the word conversation means lifestyle. Not here it don't, because I use the conversation to tell you what he's fixing to say when he's talking. Look at this. He said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my what? Conversation, right? I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So I want to have a right spirit in my conversations because eventually I'm going to be around lost people. Since I've never been out to eat hardly with none of you, I can say this and be just as blunt as I want to be. If you are that jerk that sits in the restaurant and does this while that poor little girl's trying to think whether or not she gave medicine to her little child, she had to take the babysitter, and her boss is fussing at her, and that table over there has a bunch of people that's not going to tip her, tea lady, and doing all this other stuff. Please don't give them a tract from this church. In fact, listen, don't tell her Jesus loves you or nothing, because that would only bring shame to the name of God Almighty. My wife works as a restaurant manager. She said the reason she didn't go to church for 10 years is because people come to church on Sunday morning. So that's the most vile, disgusting, perverted crowd she'd ever dealt with in a restaurant. And that's just the white people. Oh, yes, friend. Us. Yeah. So why aren't you talking about them? They ain't here, you are. I found out that's the crowd God sent. That's who we preach to. And the way people act in restaurants, there was a young boy coming to our church here a while back, 19 years old. You know, you remember when he was 19, how you knew everything and all this. You remember it was a great day, wasn't it, fellas? But then you grew up and realized you wasn't, didn't know everything. How old are you again? You're not 19, are you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Good. I'm trying to help you out for your future then.
No, not either.
Don't tell me that. He was sitting there, and we were in this restaurant, and he started taking his glass and doing this bitch. Say, was it that loud? It seemed like it was. I put a hand on it. And his eyes got big. I said, do not ever do that here. He said, why? I just want some whatever it was he wanted. I said, because you look like the thing that represents the Democratic Party. I said, and it hurts my testimony because I'm going to leave her a track and I want her to one day come to our church, but that won't get her there. I watched a tear go down that boy's face. He said, I never thought of that. You know why he does it? Because his daddy does it. Y'all do what she does. I've watched you. Y'all do what he does. Just without beards. Don't worry, I'm not done with this tonight. Them two right there. Don't you? If they do it, it's cool. You can do it, right? He wants to say, yeah, but he's afraid she's going to smack him. That's how that works. That's how that works. Whatsoever you do. Do all in the name. And then stifle that tongue because your conversation is going to kill what you just worked on. Be careful what you say around people. And then for you preachers, I wanted to get to y'all last because I'm charitable and I've let them have it and I'm going to let you have it. Let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 5 for a second. The rest of you can go ahead and go if you need to go somewhere. I'll be done in a minute. go outside and smoke or something. I don't care. I don't pastor here. I don't care what you do here. I'm gonna, you understand me? I just help yourself. But 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a word that shows up in your Bible that's one of the words that I had to get a dictionary out and look at it because I thought it was spelled wrong, but it wasn't. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about the elders. He said, "Which are among you, I exhort, am also an elder." The elder is a word for the pastor or the older people in the church, depending on the context of the word. He tells them, feed the flock of God, and we'll preach on that all day long. But then he gets down to verse 3 and says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." If we want to write spirit about us preachers, you know what we got to do? We got to take that word ensample and look it up in the dictionary and figure out what in the world that's talking about. In context in your Bible, if you look it up in your Bible, an example is a pattern. Like if I wanted to make a rectangle, I would take this. I would set it down. I'd take my pen here and I'd put it on the piece of paper here and I'd do this right here with it and I've got a pattern. That's an example. If I want to do a math equation, did y'all know there's an app for that now where you do a math and you don't have to do nothing? Ain't that cheating? Don't let them do that. That's so wrong. But if I want an example, I do it like this. But if I want an end sample, I'm the living pattern. In my church, they're only going to do what I do. And here, they're only going to do what you're going to do. And to anybody that's in the ministry, here's the sad part of it. You can only reproduce what you are. And sadly, what we reproduce ain't good. I ain't going to blame it on Joe Biden. He don't pastor my people. I ain't going to blame it on him or that idiot vice president or him either. It don't matter. They didn't do that. They just had bad examples before them. Now listen to me. My pastor told me this, and I believe this because I've seen it scripture well right here in this very verse. Whatever example you are to the flock, they'll live it out before you. Will there be tares amongst the wheat? Yes, Jesus said so. But when you talk about the tares, we're talking about the good folks. The best they're ever going to get is the best one is what they see. Isn't that something? I got one preacher boy in my church. Every time I let him preach, he preaches 15 minutes. He's killing me. Won't you let him preach again? Shut up. I'll make him preach 3 times next time. He had 3 messages over here, 45 minutes. But I like the fact he does that. You know why? He's learned something from me. You know what it is? Give them what God gave you, no matter how long it takes for you to give it. When I was a kid, I asked Brother Tim last night, and please don't hold this against me, but there was a movie in 1972 called The Godfather. We had drive-in movie theaters. I don't even know what y'all have growing up now. I don't even know. But they'd take you to them things. I remember when it came on, but by 9 o'clock I was asleep. It was like a 4-hour ordeal, or movie, I mean, not an ordeal, movie. I don't think we should preach 4 hours at a time to people. You follow what I'm saying? But that 45 or 30 minute message, whatever, should be like 4 hours for them. They take it, they'll think about the next 4 hours after they leave here. And they'll talk about it. I think that if they hear me and you talking about other people, they're going to talk about other people. But if they see us living for the Lord, trying to do the very best we can with what He's gifted us with and what He's been blessing to us with, they'll go out and do the same. One of the men on my ordination council pastored one church 48 years. I can't imagine that. I've been there 28 years and I know I look 70 now. But listen to me. He told me, he said, "You're going to have to quit running everybody off." I was 20-something, you know, knew everything. So why is that, Doc? He said, "Because the sad part about churches, it takes people in them to get the work of God done." He said, "Another sad part is, for them, a church don't run without people, it don't run without a pastor, and some pastors are just sad. And they need to quit doing what they're doing and doing what they're doing for the Lord. I'd like to tell you a light was shining from heaven and the glory of God came down in the car that day. He said that. I was driving him to meet Red Bridgette. You know what happened? Blue light came on behind us. You know why? I was totally zoned out of everything around me. You're talking about in the heavenlies listening to God. Here comes the cop. You know what you was doing, son? I said, yeah, I was listening to him. So, you know, I got so wrapped up in that, I didn't know what to think. It changed my life. I got to work with you. You got to work with me. That's not compromise. That's Bible. We have to. There's no compromise. We compromise and throw compromise out, and we renew a right spirit within us, and we let God create a clean heart in us, because God wants to use us as a whole. See, the first three things, you preachers were saying, boy, you need a second son. Y'all won't shout in your breath. They got quiet. When I got on y'all, now it's like they won't shout. They don't want to, because I realize it's a balance. We got to do it. You know what the best part is? I don't know you. I don't know you that well. I know some of you that well, but some of you I don't. The real good part is I can say it. You won't take too big of offense. That's why God put you here tonight. So how do you know all this is going like this? I didn't know who was going to be here. This one got together weeks ago, see. That's the best part about this. I don't even know. I would say I don't care, but I do. Because I really do. I want to see you do great things for the Lord. And I know until we get a right spirit and a clean heart, we'll never do nothing for the Lord. What happened in that Mercury Marquee that day? I got a right spirit about me. I got a clean heart later that night. I got both of them together that night. And if you want to be used like that bull-headed pliers or one of them things called I bought, just be available. Just be available. Have a clean heart ready for God whenever He wants you and a right spirit. Y'all ever read the book of Esther? Remember that part there, for such a time as this? You won't know that till you get to heaven, by the way, if you think you know when it happened. You'll look back on it and see it. Because there'll be so many of them, you'll think that's the one. You know what that is? That's when God's using you. You'll think everyone's, you're such a time as this. You're such a time as this. You'll think, God, what? This must be just like Esther. And God says, the best is yet to come. Only because I can find you in my toolbox. That's where the Lord wants you. Clean heart. Right spirit. Two questions. Is your heart clean and is your spirit right? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.